Chapter 10. Predation. The Hidden Threat. In the deep black void beyond the eastern fringe, a living cataclysm glinted against the night. At first, it was only the outrider elements that reflected starlight from ice-crusted carapaces, but as the sands of time trickled on, a trillion dormant bioforms emerged from the nothingness. No lights winked upon the prows of the ships of this sentient armada. No engines growled in the darkness. Even the most acute way stations utilized by the Ultramar and Tau empires found it all but indistinguishable from stellar debris. The biofleet moved slowly, well under the speeds that triggered alert responses. It drifted forward with inhuman patience. Its coming was all but silent, invisible to a wide range of sensor spectrums. By the time it was detected, it would be far too late. The killing cold of interstellar travel still clung to the biofleet, but as it neared the light and warmth of the star systems ahead, instinctive biological reactions brought its myriad organs and composite lifeforms to wakefulness. Ice sheets cracked and sloughed away. Nictitating eyelids slid back over pupils the size of biodomes. As the drifting grotesquerie began to focus, innumerable eyes gleamed blackly in the void. Cold. Deadly. Insatiable. Spread before the biofleet was a banquet of life stretching from the tip of one spiral arm to the other. Light-year swathes of biomass, all waiting to be claimed. The fleet would consume it all, leaving nothing but barren rock and childless stars in its wake. No real delineation would be drawn between human, space marine, or Tau, nor between plant, insect, or bacteria. To the fleet, it was all just biomass to devour, to assimilate, to spawn again as new organisms ready for the next invasion. Everything before it, from the microscopic to the gigantic, was perceived the same way. As prey. Farsight ran headlong down the wide oval corridor, calling up the cardinet on his headset as he went. Startled Earthcast functionaries stumbled back as he barged past, their postures first of protocolic shock, and then, when they realized who it was shouldering his way through the throng, of contrite deference. On towards the Orca hangars he went, constantly barking orders to his sub-commanders and bringing aerial assets into place. Two tall, wide-shouldered Tau in the robes of the Ethereal Guard stepped into the corridor. When they crossed their ritual dueling halberds together to bar his path, Farsight knew that something was very wrong. A pair of aircast pilots hurried past them, making the sign of unavoidable contrition with their steepled fingers. Farsight used the momentary obstruction to brush his communion bead open with the back of his hand as he made a gesture of greeting. Tau of all castes were stopping their business along the corridor, gathering in a loose circle to witness the spectacle.
"Commander O'Shova,"
said the eldest of the two Ethereal Guard, his polite smile wrinkling the folds at the corner of his eyes.
"It is an honor to meet you in person. I am Shastral Fue Larakan, and this is Shastral Oamanita. We are to escort you to the audience sphere of Dalith's subterranean hypercomplex, where you will answer to the esteemed Ethereal's Aun Tipia, Guardian of New Horizons, and Aun Tefan, Bringer of Fresh Truths.
We will accompany you only as an honor guard, of course," added Shastral Oamanita.
Farsight fought back a frown. Their crossed halberds conveyed quite another message.
"You do not understand, esteemed ones," replied Farsight, his fists unconsciously bunching. "I am honored by this audience, but it is imperative we reinforce Ath-Adra immediately. Other masters are in danger."
"It is you who lacks understanding," said the Ethereal Guard. "Leave the safety of the Ethereal Caste to those charged with it, Commander, and be content. We are fully apprised of the situation upon Dalith. You will accompany us immediately. If you do not comply, we will be forced to act in a fashion that results in your personal detriment."
"Very well," said Farsight, his shoulders stiffening. "Lead on."
Rubbing his upper lip, he subtly closed his communion bead to the commander-level cardinet. Hopefully, his allies had already heard enough. He forced his anger down, a tight ball of fury in his throat, and mentally prepared for the worst. Farsight sat buckled into the rear of the Orca New Unity, fighting to keep his calm as it hummed through the skies of Dal Ith. The safety harness he wore felt as if it was tight upon his chest, the restraints of a captive rather than the precautions taken to protect an honored guest. Ahead, the two ethereal guards that formed his escort sat with their ceremonial halberds close at hand, both looking vaguely in Farsight's direction while studiously avoiding eye contact. The atmosphere was tense, and he felt naked and vulnerable without his battle suit.
"You do not understand the gravity of the situation," said Farsight. "There are elements of the Gweiron Shah invasion force that have escaped the Gelbrin perimeter. Even now, they are heading for Ath-Adra. Their intent is to slay our high command. I am sure of it."
The ethereal guards remained as silent as ever, their faces impassive.
"You sit in judgment, so sure of yourselves," continued Oshova. "So sure of your duty and the righteousness of your actions. Yet you are failing. With every deck that slides past, you fail the ethereal cast all the more."
That got a reaction. Shastral Oamanita's face soured as he turned to face Farsight full on.
"Perhaps it is you who have failed, Commander Farsight. Ask yourself this. Would you be escorted to answer for your conduct if you had acted as the greater good required?"
"I cannot believe this," said Oshova. "The ethereals at Ath-Adra are in great danger. You talk of the Tauva, but their survival is of utmost importance to it. You of all people should appreciate that. Should they die, my Cardas and I will not be held responsible."
"We have already contacted the Cardanet," said Shastral Fue Larrakhan, his soft voice seeming incongruous given his tall warrior's physique. "The matter of the Gweiron Shah strike force to which you refer has been brought to the attention of Commander Shadowsan. Our ethereal majesties therefore consider it taken care of. Instead of focusing on events beyond your own sphere of influence,"
at this, the ethereal guard shared a quick glance,
"perhaps you should refocus your energies on your current predicament."
Farsight's eyes narrowed, but he said nothing more on the subject. He had a strong suspicion there had been formal allegations of incompetence made against him. Incompetence, or worse. Oviza's words were still fresh in his mind. What other reason was there for him being called to attend the Celestial Masters under the direct supervision of an ethereal honor guard? There were those in the Firecast who would see him torn down, stripped of his rank and influence. By leaving his comms channel open when the ethereal guard had first come for him, he had ensured there was at least a chance he had supporters at the hearing as well as detractors. Even without them, he could argue his case strongly enough. Within a few rotar, he told himself, he would be back in the fray, leading the Firecast of Dal Ith to a glorious and lasting victory over the overconfident, bullish humans. Fue Larrakhan met his gaze just for the briefest of seconds. There was nothing there but disappointment. Farsight sat back in the shadows, hands folded in his lap, and waited. He was outwardly calm, an expression of utmost serenity upon his features. His heart was racing so hard, it felt like it might burst. Farsight closed his eyes, just for a moment. How had it come to this? After the Orca New Unity had touched down, the commander had been led through the tall oval doors of the Gelbrin subterranean hypercomplex, each portal silently opening as he and the ethereal guard approached it. There, he had been shown to the vast underground sprawl that lay halfway between Gelbrin Central and Viar Meshla, where his escort had doubled in size. Two Carder fireblades had walked with him and the ethereal guards, the gathering somewhere between an honor escort and a prison detail. As they passed the hypercomplex's med facility, a hover slab bearing the blackened corpse of a Tau warrior was guided along the corridor towards them by two expressionless Earthcast orderlies. One made the sign of the Tau Var as Farsight's delegation walked past. Farsight absently returned the sign, only to notice the warrior lying on the slab was somehow still alive. A withered black wreck, with much of his badly burned flesh coated in antiseptic gel, he was reaching out and gesturing frantically.
Moment, said Farsight. This one has something important to say.
The ethereal guard looked at one another for a moment. To their credit, they stopped, turning to watch Oshova with halberds held ready.
Microdeck, no more, said Shastral Oamanita.
Farsight glanced at the data readout on the hover slab. This one would die soon.
What is it, comrade? He said. How can I help?
His blood froze in his veins. The grotesque wreck of a Tau on the slab was listed as Commander Bravestorm.
I have heard you, said Bravestorm,
lidless eyes bulging horribly as he struggled to form words with his black slit of a mouth.
Oh, yes, on the knees.
Farsight turned in puzzlement to one of the Earthcast orderlies.
What is he saying, Fiola? What happened to him?
The commander was recovered at Black Thunder Mesa, replied the orderly. He and his Shastvres were field-testing prototypes supplied by the Stone Dragon.
Coded designation, Onagar Gauntlet, said the other orderly. Anti-armor devices, continued the first, used upon a massed Gwela armored company. Bravestorm and his team closed with the super-heavy assets guarding the artillery. They physically tore out their power cores. 26 bombard tanks were destroyed before the Imperials sent walker engines to retaliate. The macro-class walkers, the second orderly said, his tone almost reverent. In doing so, the commander and his team saved the youth cadres at the training centers of Dal Ryu from being buried alive. He is well named, it seems.
Bravestorm waved a hook of fused bone at Farsight, his body shuddering with the effort of communicating.
They hired on their own.
Farsight needed no translation this time. To wreak this vengeance, the Imperial walkers had committed the worst of crimes. They had fired on their own side. Was there no act too barbaric for these creatures to commit in the name of victory?
We must leave, said Shastral Oamanita. The Aetherials must not be kept waiting. You served the Firecast long and well, my friend, said Farsight, taking Bravestorm's gel-slicked claw in the cupped hands of utmost respect. Now, rest and be at peace.
He turned to the Earthcast workers once more.
Do everything you can to save him. Ensure he wants for nothing.
Of course, said the workers in unison.
We leave,
said Shastral Fuelarakan fiercely as he stepped forward.
This instant!
Farsight made the sign of peace well earned, meeting Bravestorm's gaze before turning away and following the ethereal guard deeper into the complex. There had been no fear in the crippled commander's eyes, only a burning need for vengeance. Commander Farsight's honor guard reached a spherical audience chamber large enough to seat 2,000 Tau. Around the lower half were ranged row upon row of high-backed delegation thrones, and in the middle, a raised dais where speakers took it in turns to address those gathered. Right now, that dais was occupied by poor Odal-Ith Mesme, a tall watercast ambassador trying his hardest not to look pleased with himself. He was staring up at an empty section of the chamber, adoration writ upon his features. Farsight looked up as a circular door at the top of the sphere irised open. A quartet of advanced shield drones drifted out, forming a crackling repulsor field between them. Then came a hover throne, elaborate yet graceful. Seated atop the disc-like device was a slender, elderly ethereal. Farsight's breath caught in his throat as he realized whom it was he was looking at.
"Here to illuminate us is our most gracious leader," said the watercast speaker. "Scholar of the Undying Spirit, speaker of great truths and shining light, the ethereal master Aun Va."
The audience stood as one, their backs ramrod straight and their eyes fixed on the legend in their midst. Farsight managed to tear his gaze away just for a moment to look around. Every Tau looked shocked to their core, some delighted, some awestruck. The only exceptions were the Watercast Ambassador and the two female ethereals hovering high on repulsor belts in the innermost ring of the sphere. Aun Va was here on Dal Ith. He was a numinous being second only in purity to the ethereal supreme himself, Aun Wei. For him to come to the planet without the usual ceremony, to arrive without the usual joyful watercast broadcasts, was unprecedented.
"Do not fear," said the ethereal master as he descended on a glowing repulsor field that lit his serene features from below.
Even the sound of his voice was like cool healing gel applied to the heated minds of every Tau present.
"This audience chamber is as I wish it to be."
Those in the audience sphere felt relief flood through them, instantly content that all was well.
"I am here on Dal Ith to lead through you my most trusted aides," said Aun Va.
His hover throne lowered him to just above the two female ethereals, one on either flank.
"I intend to monitor the Gwela firsthand. They are a fascinating species, and I feel it is high time I took their measure."
Many of the gathered Tau murmured in quiet appreciation.
"Aun Tipia, Aun Tefan, proceed," said Aun Va, motioning to the ethereals below.
The two celestial dignitaries drifted forward, both making the sign of the Tau Va with their delicate fingers. One was slightly taller and a few Tau Sire older than the other, but the aura of tranquility they shared was identical.
"The ethereal master has grave concerns," said the elder Aun Tipia. "Commander Farsight," said the younger ethereal, Aun Tefan. "As overall commander of Dal Ith's defense, you stand accused of allowing alien invaders to establish a significant presence upon our primary sept world."
Farsight felt an electric jolt of shame run through him. To have such an accusation leveled upon him, especially in the presence of the ethereal master Aun Va, was nigh unbearable. A pair of elaborator drones slid smoothly from the dais in the center of the chamber, projecting a three-dimensional hologram into the heart of the audience sphere.
"The Gwela attack has penetrated sept space to an unforgivable extent," continued Aun Tefan,
raising a data wand to slide through three-dimensional tableaus of the wider Dal Ith space lanes. Huge cathedral ships wallowed in the murk of outer space, giant armored whales that made the swift Taucraft firing at their flanks look like minnows by comparison.
"The Kor Fatra have sent fleets from the other septs, but it will be some rotar before they arrive. For this, the admirals of the air caste are being called to account in their turn. Yet here, before the guidance of the ethereal master," said Aun Tipia, her fingers entwining in her twin scalp locks, "we shall discuss the conduct of the fire caste."
Aun Tipia's data wand scrolled the hologram projections through scenes of utter carnage, the bulky forms of Imperial Space Marines fighting through the firestorms of their own creation.
"The war effort upon Dal Ith does not progress as required by the Tau Va, nor is a resolution in sight."
The audience shifted uneasily in their concave seats. Farsight risked a quick look around. He spotted Commander Sharvastos there amongst them, wearing his usual formal regalia, and Oviza representing the Earthcast as part of the Elemental Council. He was reassured somewhat by their presence. At least some of the faces amongst the audience were friendly. Then Farsight saw who was seated across from them, and his spirits dropped. Tutor Shah Khan Thas, his pinched face as bitter as a rotting lemon.
"The Gwela attack is pugnacious and blunt, but effective," said Aun Tapia. "Gelbrin itself, though initially cleared, has been the target of renewed attack. A concentrated strike from the dropcraft utilized across the planet saw the Firecast withdraw in order to conserve resources. Within the last rotar, the city has been officially declared fallen."
The vivid hologram projected by the elaborator drones showed footage of white-armored Gwela bikers engaged in a running battle with a Pathfinder carter escorting a speeding transmotive. Their wheeled machines were earthbound, laughably simple in their design, though the skill with which their riders leapt, skidded, and slid through the rubble of the city outskirts was admittedly impressive. Their sheer bulk and brutish design allowed them to shrug off much of the pulse fire that the Pathfinder Carter's transports sent winging into them. Farsight grimaced as the careening transmotive was hit hard by potent energy weapons from a group of three-wheeled bikes, the resultant explosion sending it slewing from the maglev track in a spray of molten metal gobbets. A full half of the Gwaeron Shah bikers were shot down with cold efficiency as a battlesuit group descended to counterattack from above, and the Pathfinders used the fallen transmotive to anchor their flank as they joined the counterattack. For a moment, it seemed the Tau might snatch victory, but once the other half of the white-armored riders engaged their enemies at close quarters, they cut down Fire Warrior and Battlesuit alike. None were left alive. Aun Tafan continued, her tone somber.
"Four other major cities have since been cut off. Dal Ryu, Via Meshla, Mel Van Lui, and Va Issa. They have also been declared lost."
"With the greatest and most profound respect," said Commander Shavastos, standing with his hands crossed over his heart in the gesture of indulgence implored. "The war is still in its opening phases. Commander Farsight has won great gains against the Imperial attack and overcome them in person on many separate occasions. Just as with his victories upon Akunasha, I feel sure he is finding the measure of our enemies in order to inflict lasting defeat."
"Thank you, Commander," said Aun Tapia. Her tone did not convey gratitude, and neither did her expression.
The old veteran sat down quickly, color draining from his face.
"We do not lightly condemn those who risk their lives for the greater good," she continued. "But this is not Akunasha. This is a core sept world with 200 times the population density of that desert planet. In a matter of a few nights, a fifth of that population has been lost."
Farsight hung his head.
"You have to understand our position, Commander Shah Vastos," she continued. "The Akunasha War was a great victory, but it was won over the course of 13 Tau Sire, a whole generation of fire warriors yet to be born at the war's beginning, fought at its conclusion. It was a far-flung colony, and the enemies we faced there had no spacecraft, no naval presence whatsoever."
The ethereal gestured to the hologram of Dal Ith Sept's beleaguered space lanes before continuing.
"Here today, we fight quite another foe. One that is brutal, merciless, and with technology so arcane, we cannot counter it. They are bolstered by unthinking faith in their emperor, a monarchical tyrant that abandoned reason long ago. Their numbers are such that they brushed aside our own core Vatra navy as if it were cobwebs, and now they land their teeming hordes upon Sept soil with every new day. They infest our airspace, the ruins of our cities, even the commune tunnels beneath them. Their shock troopers are near equal in might to our battlesuit pilots, and they are determined to win at any cost.
The holograms changed, this time showing an armored host of black and silver war machines. Each primitive-looking vehicle was emblazoned with a stylized ebon gauntlet upon a field of white. The mechanized spearhead was taking heavy fire from the hunter carter that had been sent to stop them, railgun rounds whip-cracking through the air to slam through the space marine vehicles front to back. Some of those hit, still swathed in fire, ground onwards, shrugging off great smoking wounds that would have reduced a hammerhead gunship to scrap metal. Farsight was startled to note the Gwairon Shar equivalents of the Earthcast strode alongside the injured machines, tending to them with strange exoskeletal pincers, even in the midst of enemy fire. The front of the vehicle's spearhead ground on, fanning out and accelerating to engage the interdiction carter just as a Gwairon Shar infantry ambush closed off their retreat from amongst the shattered ruins of an Earthcast hospital. There was a string of detonations as the jaws of the trap closed, and the hunter carter came apart in flame.
The Ethereal Council has enough evidence to conclude that the current meta-strategies are found wanting, said Aun Tepia, as are those individuals assigned to its leadership.
She looked pointedly at Farsight and Commander Shavastos.
Already, several of that group have given their lives for the Tau Var, Commander Brightsword amongst them. Commander Bravestorm is in a critical condition, kept alive only by the finest efforts of the Earth Cast. Those currently in the field are exempt from censure for the time being, said Aun Tefan. We have reports of jetpack-equipped Gwairon Shar operatives at large in the wastes, roaming outside the perimeters the Firecast have established as live war zones. Commander Shadowsan has been tasked with their destruction. It was judged counterproductive to call her back to Gelbrin City for this hearing. As for the wider defense, added Aun Tepia, decisive actions are called for, and swiftly. In challenging times, unusual measures must be taken. Our Celestial Majesty, Aun Var, will outline his great plans in due course.
Farsight held his breath, anticipating the blow to come.
First, we will address the accusations of Vashyar that have been leveled upon you, Commander Farsight, said Aun Tefan. We need not tell you how grave an affront this is to our way of life.
Here it comes, thought Farsight. In the past, those found guilty of being Vashyar had faced the most severe of punishments. Given how the hearing was going thus far, his life expectancy could be measured in decks.
Before your arrival, this hearing determined that the allegations of inter-caste activity have a basis in truth. Tutor Sharkhan Thas gave a compelling testimony.
My thanks,
said the tutor from across the audience sphere. He stood up with a posture of confidence and took a formal bow, but Farsight saw a lack of surety beyond it. Here was a soul plagued by doubt, but who was too far down the path he had chosen to turn back.
Hollow footage of Farsight's rallying speech at Zephyr Peak has been assessed by the Watercast and found to have many of their diplomatic techniques evident within it, said Aun Tefan. The accusation between spheres there stands. Alone, it would not be enough to condemn you, given your exemplary record, said Aun Tepia. Yet there is more.
Farsight said nothing, aware that to speak out would likely damn him further.
At Tutor Sharkhan Thassa's formal request, continued the elder of the two females, Chief Scientist Orvisa has analyzed and assessed your actions at the Gelbrin Reservoir. His report concludes that your field repair of your customized XV-8, upon which you still insist on displaying unsanctioned colors, was a work of rare excellence and perspicacity under extreme pressure. In a member of the Earthcast, this would be laudable, said Aun Tefan, perhaps even formally recognized as exemplary. In a member of the fire caste, however, it shows a weakness of character that sets an unforgivable precedent. It may even damage the very fabric of the Tao Va.
At this, the ethereal master nodded sagely.
As such, that incident has been struck from any and all records, said Aontapia. The truth of your selfishness must remain forever shrouded.
I was about to drown,
blurted Farsight, his skin flushing dark.
Is that how I should have best served the greater good? By letting my control cocoon fill to the point where my battlesuit became a tomb? By letting the wisdom that Master Puretide has beaten into me sink without trace?
He turned to the dignitaries seated in the front row, his face like thunder.
Damn you to a lonely death, Sharkanthas, he shouted. And you, O Visa, you were supposed to be my allies.
The silence that followed Farsight's outburst was total. All eyes were on Farsight. He felt he was about to suffocate, even though his breath was coming in short, shallow gasps. Aon Va's gaze fell upon him, the weight of his disapproval crushing in its intensity. There was something else there, too, but Farsight could not place it. Triumph, perhaps.
Commander Farsight speaks of Master Puretide's wisdom, said Aon Va, his tone solemn. It is possible that he has located the crux of the matter. Perhaps that is the key to victory, to follow the paths that Puretide has shown us in their totality, not in part.
The two other ethereals drifted backwards, their robes fanning out as they took position behind their leader.
Then it is agreed, said Aon Va. You shall go to your famous teacher, Oshova of Viola. Go in exile and disgrace. Go to him and bring back his unsurpassed insights on the nature of war.
Farsight stood, stunned and silent, as the ethereal master spoke on.
But you will not bring back only a portion of his wisdom this time, the portion that best suits your own outlook.
Aon Va turned his hover throne slightly so he could look directly at Farsight. The full force of his authority made Farsight want to shrivel into his seat and disappear.
You shall retrieve all of Master Puretide's knowledge, said Aon Va. Every last thought. Our esteemed comrade Oviza has a device that will aid you in this quest.
The ethereal master pointed a slim finger towards the Earthcast scientist. Oviza dutifully held up a black oval casket, roughly half the size of a drone. It drifted across the spherical chamber, hovering in front of Farsight, until he numbly accepted it with the cupped hands of the gift received. He felt like hurling the thing away. His hands were shaking as badly as when he had escaped from the lethal depths of the Gelbrin Reservoir.
Do this thing in the name of the Tao Va, said the ethereal master. Bring us the sum total of Master Puretide's mind, that we may turn the tide. Do so, and you may yet redeem yourself.
Farsight felt something like hope flare inside him, but at Aonvar's next proclamation, it froze like flash frost.
If you fail us, Commander Farsight, he said, then you will be put to death.